Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I guess we'll be previewing the World Series, even though the Yankees aren't in it. And I have more stuff to rant about with regards to the Houston Astros. Jeff Lunau did an interview yesterday, or at least it dropped yesterday. He had some things to say. There's also an article on NewJersey.com that I would like to discuss. It features an anonymous scout bashing Brian Cashman and Matt Blake, which is easy to do when you're anonymous. We'll talk about that and more, but first you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Can I just say how bored I was last night without any baseball on? I had gotten so used to there being baseball pretty much every night, and even having one night off from it. I know there was football on, but I don't really get into football until baseball is completely over. Even if the Yankees are eliminated, I still won't really watch football or really get into it until baseball season is completely over. I did watch the Giants actually win on Sunday. You're welcome. But I was half paying attention to it. My mind is still in baseball mode, and we have one more series to go, the World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. I've already mentioned how I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I just would like for them to finally win a World Series, even in this strange, truncated season. It would be nice for them to finally win after all of their near misses in the last few years. As for the Rays, I would like for them to eat some humble pie because they're a bunch of jerks. And hi, Ulysses, I know you're listening, the host of Locked On Rays. Good for the Rays for making it this far. And hey, if they win the World Series, good for you. You'll actually have a real banner to hang up in your sloppy baseball park. So again, good for you. But I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Oh, can I say one thing that's really hilarious? It was going around yesterday, but the Texas Rangers made it a point to put on their Twitter account bio that they're hosting the World Series. I mean, it's true. Globe Life, what is it called? Globe Life Field or Globe Life Park? Globe Life Field. I get these confused all the time because they're stadiums and minor league ballparks and major league, but like, some are parks, some are fields. I can never get them straight. So it's Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas. The game starts at 8:11 p.m. tonight. Obviously, you can watch it on Fox. And the matchup is Tyler Glasnow against Clayton Kershaw. Tyler Glasnow is a 6'8" freak of nature who can pitch every single day. Or he is a transplant from the 60s. Implanted into the 2020s, because back in the 60s, guys pitched all the time. You heard of guys in the World Series starting game 4, relieving in game 5, starting game 6, starting game 7, because apparently their arms were like rubber. Then again, 50 years ago, they weren't throwing the ball 98 and 99 with regularity. It was a big difference in pitching types back then compared to now. But Tyler Glasnow is the type of guy who can start in game 1, start game 5, pitch 2 innings in game 3 if they need him. He just is unbelievable. He also reminds me of Prince Humperdinck from Princess Bride when his hat is off. I will never be able to get that picture out of my head. So the big game one matchup, Glasnow against Kershaw. We all know about Kershaw's troubles in the playoffs, and they happened in game four of the NLCS against the Braves. He allowed 4 runs on 7 hits in just over 5 innings, although he fell apart in the latter part of his appearance. It wasn't as if he gave up runs right away. But he is 1-2 in the World Series with a 5.40 ERA in 26 and two-third innings. This will be his 5th World Series start of his career, his 6th appearance. For Glasnow, he starts the Rays' first World Series game since 2008. He's 2-1 with a 4.66 ERA this postseason, coming off his 6-inning, 4-run outing against the Astros in Game 4 of the ALCS. He has 25 strikeouts, which are the 4th most in the 2020 playoffs. Fun fact, Clayton Kershaw has 23 strikeouts so far this postseason. Now, this series is going to be a normal series where they play 2, have a day off, play 3, have a day off, play 2, if necessary, obviously. The Dodgers are the home team, I believe, right? Because they had the best record. So after all of these expanded playoffs, the 2 teams with the best record in each league are facing off in the World Series. Now for the Rays, this will be something different because they'll be in a stadium with fans. This works for 2020 and for every other season they've ever played. Just kidding! Anyway, fans will be in Arlington like they were for the NLCS. Because of COVID restrictions, it will be nowhere near capacity, just like the NLCS, but for the Rays players, it'll be nice to actually hear people cheering and not hearing piped-in crowd noise, which is what's been happening the entire time so far in the playoffs for them. So once more, tonight, 8:11 is first pitch in Arlington, on Fox, Tyler Glasnow, Clayton Kershaw. Should be a good one. In a moment, I'll be discussing the Jeff Luhnow interview and the Randy Miller article on NewJersey.com that trashed Matt Blake and Brian Cashman. But first, let's talk about RockAuto.com, because if you have a car or a truck, you should go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. See all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Back when this crazy year began, way back on January 13th, Astros manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow were suspended by Major League Baseball for what Commissioner Rob Manfred said was their part in a massive, intricate cheating scandal. Astros owner Jim Crane fired both Luhnow and Hinch later that day. Until now, Luhnow hadn't given his side of the story. But now we have a full 37-minute interview to sit through. We're not going to. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you or to me. But Vanessa Richardson of KPRC in Houston, I'm assuming, right? That makes sense. Conducted the interview. She transcribed the entire 37-minute interview. Thank you for that, Vanessa. Everyone appreciates it. Now, the thing that sticks out to me is that Jeff Luhnow keeps denying that he knew anything about it. How is this possible? Because it wasn't just the players doing it. There were scouts involved in this cheating scandal. So how on earth would the GM of a baseball team not know that cheating was happening on so many levels of his organization? It's not possible. He's lying. I don't care what he says, he's lying. Vanessa says, from the beginning, you've had the same story, which is that you did not know about cheating on any level. When was the first time you heard anything about the Astros cheating in any capacity? Quote, there had been some rumors in 2018, and in fact, at two points in time, someone from MLB told me either in a casual conversation or called me and said that there had been rumors of the Astros sign-stealing in 2017. But I wasn't asked to follow up on it. They weren't asking me to do anything. It was sort of a heads up, and I didn't think we were doing anything, so I didn't pursue it. It isn't a story. It's the truth, Vanessa, and I've been consistent with the truth that I didn't know from the beginning. The very first interview I had with Major League Baseball all the way until today. And when you're telling the truth, it's pretty easy to be consistent because you're just recounting what happened. And if I go through all of my behavior, all of my actions, they're consistent with someone who tells the truth, and they're also consistent with someone that didn't know. Okay, so not only is he saying he had no idea, he's also saying that there were two points in time when someone mentioned to him that there were rumors about the Astros cheating, and he did nothing about it. Because he claims, well, I didn't think we were doing anything. Does anyone else see something wrong with this, or is it just me? I would like to think that if I were in charge of some part of a baseball organization, and someone came to me twice and said, you know what, there are rumors going around about your team cheating, I think I would investigate. I don't think I would sit there and think to myself, oh, well, that can't be true. And the thing that gets me is it wasn't once, it was twice. Was he waiting for a third time to make sure that it was true? I don't get it. It feels as if any time anyone from the Astros organization, or formerly of the Astros organization, and anyone who was around during the cheating scandal, whenever they speak, they step in it. Every single time. These guys do not know what to say. It's unbelievable. And I'm astounded every time, and I shouldn't be, because no matter what these guys say, no matter how many times they open their mouths, it's never their fault. Nothing is ever their fault. Honestly, I can't decide what's worse. Not knowing that there's this elaborate cheating scandal happening right under your nose, or lying and saying that you didn't know. I'm almost tempted to say that the former is more embarrassing. You're a GM of a Major League Baseball team and you have no idea about this multi-level cheating scandal. Again, it wasn't just the players, even though the commissioner claimed that it was. There were video board guys involved. There were scouts involved. It was really elaborate. And the fact that Lou now is claiming he knew nothing about this is really embarrassing. Now, the other big part of this interview addresses the Brandon Topman incident. If you don't remember what that was, this happened after the ALCS in 2019. The assistant general manager, Brandon Topman, was fired because he had a post-game outburst that was aimed at female reporters. And at first, the Astros put out a statement basically accusing the female reporters of lying, and then realized that they weren't lying, that Topman was a scumbag, and that they needed to fire him. So Vanessa Richardson said, there was another incident before anything about cheating was revealed, and that's Brandon Topman allegedly making insensitive remarks to a female reporter. What are your memories of that night, and what was your role in the cleanup? This is what Lou now said. I was so disappointed that that happened. That should have never happened, first of all. But I was actually more disappointed in how the Astros reacted to that. The night that the organization found out that this was going to be a story, there were several people actively conversing about what to do about it. Now, you probably know this as a reporter, but as a general manager, I don't write press releases. I see them before they go out if they have to do with baseball operations, and I'll approve a quote if it's supposedly my words, but even my quotes are written by someone else. This particular response was crafted, edited, and written by the person that runs the legal operation for the Astros and the person that runs the marketing and PR for the Astros. Those two wrote it, edited it, and sent it out. Now, they did syndicate it. When I say syndicate it, there were other people copied on the email traffic that evening. Nobody said, don't send this out. I should have said that, and I feel bad that I didn't, because my gut was telling me that this was probably not the right reaction. Even though everybody in that group believed that the incident was innocent, which it turned out not to be, it still didn't feel like the right reaction because it was so aggressive. Now, if you don't recall, the first statement that was put out by the Astros was very aggressive, was very accusatory against the reporters and sticking up for Brandon Taubman. Now, he said at one point, this is Luhnow, at one point I objected to it, not as vociferously as I wish I would have. My objection was ignored, and 20 minutes later, the response was sent out. It was very clear immediately after the response was sent out that it was horrifically wrong, and it made us look terrible. Nobody wanted to take responsibility for that response. 2 days later, we're in Washington, D.C., and that morning I had fired Brandon. And I was asked if I would talk to the media about firing Brandon. I agreed to do it. No one else was willing to do it. About 20 seconds before I walked into a room full of baseball reporters who were looking to attack somebody, I was instructed by one of the people that wrote the response not to disclose who wrote it and to make everybody understand it was an Astros response, but not to talk about the people who were involved. I followed those instructions. I sat there for 20 minutes and was attacked by every media outlet in the country, and I know I didn't handle it as well as I could have, but I didn't want to lie, so I told them I had seen the response before it was sent out, which essentially made me the face of the response because no one else was willing to face the music. When that interview was over, I received a text message from the other person who had been involved in writing it and crafting it, thanking me for taking one for the team. I shouldn't have taken one for the team. I didn't write that response. It was a horrible response. It never should have happened, but unfortunately, I did. I take my responsibility in it. I should have stopped it, but that's not my area of expertise. I was busy preparing for the World Series. There are people in the company, the legal department, the marketing department, the PR department. Those are the people that are involved in crisis management, and they botched this big time. I mean, you botched it also, which he did admit, but the thing that stuck out to me the most about that quote was the fact that he was accusing the media outlets of wanting to attack him right away. No, the media outlets gathered in that press conference wanted to know what the hell happened. Again, playing the victim. Although he is a victim, in a sense, because of the way that statement was crafted. I remember at the time thinking, who the hell wrote this? Because it's awful. I also remember at the time thinking, whoever wrote this should be fired. There's no going around anything. Everyone involved in that situation, from Brandon Taubman to the people who wrote that statement, to the people who allowed that statement to go out the way it was written, should have been disciplined. At least disciplined, if not fired. I'm glad that they fired Taubman right away. That was a good step by them. But that was a mess. Good Lord. Okay, so this went on a little longer than I thought it would. So I will talk about the NewJersey.com article tomorrow. I will also tell the story of my first ever World Series game experience, which happened 20 years ago tomorrow night. And I will recap game one of the World Series. So it'll be a jam-packed, fun show tomorrow. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.